I'm going to invite you back. We're going to be in a couple places in Scripture today. First place is going to be Revelation 21, and then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15 will become some of the verses. I shared this message back in 2017. I went back and looked at it, reworked it for today. Reworked it for today. Especially in a week of camp, it just helps me to cut down on the prep time a little bit. But I also feel like it's just a very practical message. It's probably one of the more practical messages that I ever preach on, okay? Because it's where we, things that we live with and deal with on a regular basis, all right? I think it involves us. So how many have seen Inside Out 2? How many have went to Inside Out 2? So a few of you have gone and seen it. So there's some things if you've watched that. I've seen Inside Out 1. Haven't seen the 2, so was hoping to get to it yesterday, but I just was trying to get things done around the house. So in life, though, so if you know the little bit of the premise of the story, it's about a young lady. Her name is what, Riley? Is that right? And I think she's a hockey player and stuff like that. But she wrestles, you know, it's just a very innovative movie. It just talks about how the emotions are trying to control her life, right? It takes you to that inside view of the different emotions there. And so in the second one, they introduce a few new emotions, anxiety, and what are some of the other ones? Embarrassment there, yes, yep. And some of the other ones and how they wrestle to take control of her life. So emotions very much come in a lot of different range of them, right? There's a lot of different emotions. Some emotions, though, really cause us a lot of pain in our life, emotional pain, all right? You may hit your thumb with a hammer. I've done that because I did construction when I was young. Sprain your ankle or fracture it, right? There's some pain there, right? Yeah. That was in here before, right? That was in here before it happened, Olivia, just so you know. Broken relationship, a death of a loved one, right? A failure in life. Man, we go out there and we try our best and it fails, right? That's hard. There's health issues. There's feelings of rejection. Sometimes life is a little bit cruel. Maybe there's a weather event. Somebody was going to be impacted by the hurricanes down in Texas here that's here with us today. And so sometimes there's a lot of damage with that. There can be events even like the shooting that took place in Crete. And I know even watching the news last night, former President Trump, it sounds like, I didn't watch the details this morning. We do need to pray for our nation, though. I talked about that, right, just a week ago. How we can be that faithful presence in our world. I think that's what God has called us to do, to pray for our nation, to pray for our land and for our world. We are salt and light in this world. And so while painful experiences and emotions that accompany them are very much part of this life, Scripture indicates that pain and suffering will be absent in heaven. Amen? Right? Amen. So that's what Revelation 21, 1 through 4 says. So before we dive into that, but let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. In these moments we have, I pray that you would just guide and direct us. Help us by your Holy Spirit. And whatever part of the message, Lord, that speaks to us, I pray just for an open heart on our part, Lord God, to hear, and that your Holy Spirit would guide us so that we can become who you've called us to be in Christ. We ask this in your name. Amen. It says in Revelation 21, 1 through 4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. There's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from heaven, from the throne, saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men.'" You know, that's, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was in the middle of the people, right? It was in the center of who they are. That was a picture of God's purpose that he wants to dwell. So tabernacle means literally to dwell amongst. So now we see that in heaven, that's a reality. God is going to dwell amongst his people. The tabernacle of God is among men. "And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. The first things of this world will have passed away. The emotional pain that we experience in the world can probably be divided into three categories. So I'm not going to say that these are the only three categories. This is just kind of a way that we could maybe make sense out of them, okay? First, we experience pain and the emotions that have come alongside those both by living in a fallen world, okay? This world is fallen, okay? Because there is sin in the world, there is going to be pain and there's going to be hardship. People do bad things to other people. Even just the weather events and sickness and disease are part of that we live in a fallen world. When mankind sinned, we were under a curse. Those are the things that are going to be swept away when we get to heaven. There will be no more death, no more pain, no more sickness or disease. But while we're on this earth, we have to live with them, right? And life is not fair, right? I know some very good people that have had sickness and disease that have died an early death, and I can't make any sense out of it. God does. I can't, right? And then there's some people that don't experience it. That's God's business. That's not mine, right? But we experience pain due to injury, sickness, death of a loved one, tragic events in our world. This type of pain is part of our world and part of us living under the curse. And when we get to heaven, there will be no more of that. It'll all be swept away. This type of pain, a lot of times, heals with time. And God has promised to walk with us in those times, all right? The second type of pain comes from painful experience, and the emotions are sin-based. In other words, I experience pain in my life due to the consequences of my own actions and my own sin, all right? And so some of that, maybe I sin or I fail or I do something that I shouldn't be doing. We may feel shame, we may feel guilt, we may feel depression, we may feel unworthy, we may feel devastated, we may feel broken, we may feel regretful. And those, I think we want to feel convicted at times if we are doing wrong, right? But condemnation, right? And shame, awe, and depression, feeling unworthy, those keep us away from God. They will destroy our life. It'll destroy our self-confidence. It will keep us from doing what God has called us to do. So we all probably at times, I think we can put each one of us in that category. We have times that we miss the mark, right? And then we deal with the painful emotions that follow, all right? But we can move forward as we deal with our sin. We seek God's forgiveness. We call that confession. And I think as long as we move forward, God can bring the healing that we need. At times, God exposes flaws in our life. Do you know that you all have flaws? Right? That means you're human. And so as long as we deal with the flaws in our life, we move forward and we become who God has called us to be. But when we fail to deal with the flaws in our life, they become fatal flaws. And that's a whole other message in itself. And that's very important, especially if you want to move into leadership, are the things we have to deal with the flaws in our life, and we all have them. And sometimes God is not very kind in how he deals with them. If you look at Scripture, yeah, all right, yeah. Got the worship going with you, all right? Think about Joseph. Joseph, God speaks to him in dreams, says his brothers are going to bow down and they're going to worship him. Woohoo, right? He's excited about that. He tells his brother, he tells his father. What was their response? Not very good, was it? And God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph. He was an incredible man, but he also had pride in his life. And how did God deal with pride in his life, that flaw? He spent time in prison, right? It was there that he learned deep humility. And God dealt with the flaws in his life so that God could then take him where he would be second command of all Egypt. So if God's working in your life, sometimes he uses the resources that are available to him. And it's not always easy. But we have to grow through those times, right? And then number three is, there's a painful emotions that stem from the lies that we believe. I feel anxious. I feel unworthy. I feel depressed or discouraged or lonely. And it comes from the lies that we believe in our heart. Not so much from a health issue, not so much from other things, but it's because of the lies that I believe about myself or that I feel how God feels about me. Okay? And it's that third category that I want us to kind of focus on this morning. We all have a place in our life, and we have emotions that reside in that place in our life, and they flow out of. So where do our emotions reside, and where do they flow out of? Help me out. What do we call that place? Where? Soul. Close. Heart. Heart. So often the Bible talks about, I love you with all my heart. Now, they're not talking about the organ that's located right here, right? It's talking about that place, the seat of our emotions, right? And so we call that our heart, all right? And it's in our heart where our emotions flow out of, as well as other things. And also in that place are our beliefs. So we can have beliefs up here, but the beliefs that tend to guide our life are found right here. So we can know the truths of God about ourselves and about God up here, but if those beliefs in our heart don't align with that, we have a problem, because it's the beliefs in our heart that guide and drive our life. So that's what we're going to unpack a little bit more. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 15. He called the people to him and he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. So if you eat food with dirty hands, all right, moms, you can close your ears, all right. All right, but what comes out of the mouth, that's what defiles a person, right? You've all followed the 5-second rule. Is it the 5-second rule? If something falls to the ground, you eat it, right? Yeah, Clarence, you don't do that? All right. Verse 12, then the disciples came and said to him, hey, we need a little more commentary on this. You need to help us understand this. Do you know what that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you saying these things? And he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you still without understanding? Imagine if God said that to you. Are you still without understanding? The disciples were there. Verse 16, he said to them, verse 17. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled? All right? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds not from there, but from the what? Heart. And this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. And the main focus of this message and why it's so important is because if we don't deal with the false beliefs in our heart, those emotions and those false beliefs, they will guide and direct our lives. And if we don't deal with those things, before we know it, we begin to act out of character. We do things that normally we wouldn't do because those emotions are overriding what we should be doing. You following me? We've all maybe been pushed to the edge where maybe we're emotionally tired, we're just angry or something. And it's in those moments, maybe we'll say a word that we can't take back. Or maybe we lash out at somebody, or we hit somebody, we throw something across the room, right? Typically that maybe wouldn't be our character and who we are, but in the emotion, in the heat of those emotions, they override us and take over. And we know that in the court of law, there's those crimes of passion where people will do bad things, right? Murder, crimes, because their emotions take over and they do things that maybe would be out of character for them. All right, so you kind of see that in the Inside Out 2 movie. I think it's pretty family friendly. I looked at some reviews on it, so I think one of the positive things about those movies is that it does get people talking about their emotions instead of keeping them in here they talk about them. And I think that's usually a good thing. So what are some of the emotions that cause us pain? So I need 9 volunteers. I need somebody that's good at clothespins. I know, you know, how many, we were in Loop City for that fishing trip to Sherman. We saw somebody, a lady hanging her clothes out on the lines, and it's kind of like, man, that's been a long time since I remember seeing that. But I remember I always ran through the sheets, you know, when my mom would have the sheets hanging up, I'd run through them when I was a kid. So, but now we use our dryers, and we don't even use the sheets. All right, I need 8, 9 volunteers. Hurry up, come on, chop, 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 come on. Young, old, I don't care who it is, come on, come on. All right. Come on, Sierra, you're going to help me out. You're going to help, you're going to be the clothespin lady, okay? All right, so here's some clothespins. They're going to hand them to you. You're just going to start at the center and work your way out, okay? All right, and just watch out for the stuff there, all right? All right, Clarence, you come and pull one off of here, and then you're going to hold it up for everybody so that they can see it, all right?
Okay.
All right, so show it to everybody. What does that say? Alone, feeling alone, right? You ever felt just alone, that it's just nobody's there, right? Yeah, it can feel pretty dark. Okay, why don't we hang that one up there? You can give it to Sierra. All right, Devin, come and help us out with the next one here. Just take one there. Yep, there you go. Make sure it's facing the right way. I don't know. What do you got there? Angry, huh? Yeah, that's kind of God gave us anger, right? There's times we should be angry. But there's times that it can be very unhealthy, right? It can do a lot of damage. All right, cool. All right, let's put anger up there. Angry. All right, Izzy, come on. Show us one. Which one do you have? Which one do you have?
Sad.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can make us sad, right? Events that happen in our life, right? Yeah, okay. All right, Dave, you're next there. There you go. Frustrated, is that what it is? Frustrated? Yeah. If it's you, huh? There's times we can be frustrated, right? Which is with life. Maybe life's not going fast enough, or with people, right? Yeah, frustrated. Yeah, okay, good. All right. Mary. Yeah, go for it. Oh, hurt. Boy, if you live in this world, you're going to get hurt, aren't you, by other people. Good people, bad people, we get hurt, right? And if we don't deal with hurt in the right way, it'll cause us to go out of character. Can you think of a person in the Bible that was hurt and didn't deal with it correctly? I think we talked about it at youth camp. Genesis chapter... Cain. Cain and Abel take their offering to worship God. God accepted Abel's offering, but with Cain's offering, he wasn't pleased. And God comes to him and says, you need to deal with your anger, because if you don't, it's going to cause issues. Did Cain deal with his anger? No. He didn't deal with his hurt and was with his anger, and what did it cause him to do? He killed his brother. We have our first murder. That's what happens if we don't deal with the beliefs in our heart and the emotions that are there. Depression, yeah. You know, so the psalm that Amy read earlier, my soul, are you downcast within me? Put your hope in God. David definitely had times of depression in his life. So if you go through those times, you're not alone. All right? Okay, Sherry. Yep. There you go. What do we got there? Anxiety. All right, yeah. Yeah, there's anxiety. I think some people are more prone to that than others, right? I noticed in my own life, that was kind of like an aha moment back a number of years ago before coming to Crete here. That was an issue. All right, last one. Fear. You know, Denise, the songs you picked out today tied in perfectly with the message, and you had those done by like Monday or whatever, but they tied in perfectly. We talked about fear in one of the songs, right? Why should I fear? The evidence is here, right? Yet we deal with fear, and how often fear can control our life and sometimes even cause us to then, again, act out in ways that we normally wouldn't. It can cause us not to want to go out our front door. It can cause us to not want to do the things that God has called us to do because we're fearful. All right, give these guys a hand this morning. All right. So, as we look at these emotions up here, they come from beliefs in our heart. So, let's take this a step further. So, if I'm feeling alone, what is the belief I have in my heart that would be triggering that? Help me out. Yeah. So what would be the belief that's guiding that? That I have nobody. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. God does. He's forgotten about me. Right? Okay. That's the belief that's guiding us. That it plays over and over in our mind sometimes. Angry. Okay. All right. Okay. What about hurt? What about that one? That would maybe be the same one as alone, maybe, right? God doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. What about anxiety? Trying to control things. Why? And so the belief would be, what would be the false belief? And who is not? God is not in control. He can't handle it, right? Right? So the false belief is that God isn't big enough to deal with my anxiety. I have to control it. Scripture says, do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to buy. God knows of all those things, right? Fear. What's the belief there? Kind of the same thing as anxiety there, isn't it? Right? That God isn't going to watch out for me. He's not in control. He's not going to protect me. Right? The false beliefs that are there. And so as Christians, we can deal with dualism. We know one thing in our brain, but we believe something else in our heart. And so I'm going to identify four steps here. You can write them down. Craig will display one of these at a time. Once we identify the emotions we are feeling, then we can then target the lie-based beliefs that are sabotaging our life. All right? And the Holy Spirit can help us. So how can we defeat lie-based pain in our lives? First of all, we have to identify the triggers, right? Identify the triggers. Now, in especially some of these things, I think with all of them, there are triggers that maybe make us feel anxious or fearful or hurt or angry, right? Or maybe alone. There's events that can make those things happen. And to identify those triggers, I remember I've tried to do this more intentionally, but there's times that I've come home and came in the house and it's kind of like, I'm just feeling down. I just feel like there's maybe a rock in my stomach, or I'm just feeling discouraged, and I have to go, why? You know, 12 hours ago I was feeling good, but why is this blanket over me right now? And I've had to go back, kind of, what triggered that, right? Maybe it was an email I received, or maybe it was something somebody said, but something triggered that, and it's been helpful to go back and realize, oh, wow, okay, yeah, it was that moment, right, that happened. You know, maybe for us, maybe we were treated unfairly. Maybe it was a stressful moment. Man, that brings out the best in us, doesn't it? Stress? Woo, yeah. It's an unkind word. It's a failure. Or maybe it, you know, what is it for you? That trigger that causes it. You know, one of the things, so I've shared with you, a few of you, that I pick up a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks ago, I had, like, the Twilight Zone came down and hit my pickup. The gauges were going. What was really a little bit unnerving were the door locks were going click, 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 click. It's kind of like, I did that the whole way home. It was just kind of click, click, click. We got home, got to mechanic, and the mechanic says, it's above me. You're going to have to take it to the dealership. And eventually checked around, got some good leads, and got it fixed. You know, it still cost a lot, but it wasn't out of this world. So it was four different modules. Yeah. But the minute you feel that, you get the news, you know, you can get a little bit anxious. At least I can, because okay, I'm thinking, okay, how much is it going to cost? And we've taken steps to where we have emergency savings, so if that happens, the money is there. But still, there was a time when we moved to Crete here, we had our van. There's still an intersection in Lincoln. It is 27th and Old Cheney. That intersection, I was going to a minister's meeting, and I was almost there, and I stopped for the light, and it died on me. And there was a coil that just blew up in the van. That electrical coil in there fried, and it was just dead there. We had to get a wrecker and get it out of there. And we didn't really have the money to cover it. It was a very stressful moment. And God worked us through. You know, God takes care of those things. But sometimes we have those events happen. It triggers things from the past, where those stressful moments. So I remember just recently. So with that, just thinking, you know what, God's going to take care of this. I don't know how it's going to work out. I really felt like it was a test that God was going to take it through. So I handled it better than I've handled it in the past, all right? But we have to identify those triggers. And it may be easy to figure out what that is, but maybe it's going to take a little bit of time saying, what triggered that? Was it what somebody said? You go down the list, all right? Number two is then we have to understand our emotions. What am I feeling? And sometimes it's very clear, but there again, it's kind of like I've had to kind of go back. Am I feeling depressed? Am I feeling anxious? Sometimes you have to kind of dissect it a little bit and see, okay, what is the emotion I am dealing with? Because once we know the emotion, then we can identify the false belief. But until we know the emotion that is kind of governing us and hitting us with emotional pain, that's important to identify what that is. So with my pickup situation, it was probably some stress, some anxiety, fear of what the bill is going to be, you know, am I going to get it fixed? Probably a little maybe some discouragement in there. So all those things kind of rolled into one, but it was all stemming as, God, are you in control of this? God, are you financially going to be able to provide for that? Okay? That's just being honest. I feel like that's the only way it's applicable this morning. All right. Identify your triggers, understand your emotions. That is necessary so that we can go to the third one, which is discover the false beliefs in your heart. What are the false beliefs in your heart that are causing you negative emotions? Those beliefs may be seeing that God's not big enough for my problem, or God's not in control. So that's going to maybe cause these two here, right? I may know that up here, but unless I believe it here, I'm still going to wrestle with those emotions, right? And I wish it was as easy as flipping the switch, right? Because I know it up here, but it takes a while for it to soak in here, at least with me. And I think with most of us, I think that's going to be the case. With alone and sad and depressed, I have to remind myself that God is with me, right? What did Jesus say? I will never leave you or forsake you. That's his promise. That's his truth. But there's times that we walk through, there's valleys that we walk through that it's kind of like, God, where are you? I'm here, right? Footprints in the sand, right? That poem, right? You've all seen that on a wall someplace, right? It's God, you know, there's only one set of footprints here. Where did you go? And God says, well, that's where I picked you up and carried you. But from our perspective, it's like, God, where are you? And part of that is God is stretching us to walk by faith and not just by sight. But that's not an easy process to go through. He wants us to know that truth in our heart that he is with us. You know, Paul says in Philippians that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He's saying that in the context of giving, them giving and supporting him. And he says, you know what, as you are generous, your God will supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. I need to be reminded of that, right? That God will supply the needs. I still need to, you know, have a budget. I still need to be financially responsible, right? But even in the midst of that, there is good times and there's difficult times, right? In the life of a church, that is the situation as well. We have had lean times and we've had times where God has been very generous to the church. And God has promised, his truth is that he will supply the needs for our life, but also for what he's called us to do. Amen? And we can know that up in our brain, but until it gets here, it's not going to deal with the emotions that we have that cause us pain. The fourth point is to replace those false beliefs with God's truth. You know, Paul says in Philippians, I feel like Ephesians and Philippians are some of the greatest works that Paul wrote, and they're both written from prison, okay? And they're written at a time where he is not a rookie. He has experience. He has scars to prove it on his body. They're just not emotional scars. There's literal scars on his back, on his body for what he's endured. But he tells the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone that the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So instead of feeling anxious or fearful, the emotion that God gives us is what? Joy, and what else? Peace. In replace for them. As we bring it to God in prayer and with thanksgiving. You know, and often we think, man, this happened, and we totally forget about all the other things that God has done. One of the quickest ways to get out of depression, anxiety, and fear, maybe even being alone, is just to be thankful to God. Hey, God, thank you that you saved me. Thank you that I have food on the table today, a roof over my head, that I have clothes to wear. Thank you for friends. Thank you for a church. Thank you for all the many blessings you've given in my life. You know, there's that song on the radio, Lord, I'm counting my blessings, right? It's a great song. And it kind of gets me every time because so many times we forget about the blessings that God brings into our life. We sang the song Evidence, and it gets Denise every time, right? But because it just reminds her, I think, of God's faithfulness and how God's been with her. We have to be able to identify the triggers, then the emotions, identify those false beliefs, but then we replace it with God's truth, that he will be with us and we can come to him. We all have false beliefs in our heart. I don't think there's anybody that's without those, okay? So because you do, don't think you're some horrible person. I think that's what maturity is all about, and transformation, though, in our life. As we mature as a believer in Christ, hopefully we're moving from those places where a false belief to where we are believing the truth of God in our heart. And I think Paul was in some very stressful moments where he thought his life was finished. We've gone through the book of Acts. And you read through the book of Acts, I mean, he's stoned and left for dead. He's about taken out in Ephesus. They about take him, but God delivers him, right? And him and his friends. Some very intense moments. And God had to encourage him in Corinth. He says, hey, you're not going to be here just for a few moments. You're going to be here for a while, and I'm going to be here. I'm standing with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. Paul needed those words of encouragement. And by the time he writes Philippians, he's in a prison. And he says, you know what? My God will supply your needs. Rejoice in him. He's learned the benefit of rejoicing and thankfulness, how it changes our heart, and that God will supply our needs, that he'll place his peace within our hearts. I'm going to have the musicians come. You know, Satan is the father of lies. I'm going to take this down so that it doesn't interfere here. Satan is the father of lies. He comes and he speaks over us, tells us we're not good enough. Whenever we fail, he says, yeah, you'll never measure up. He's the father of lies, right? God doesn't love you. People don't love you. God won't take care of you. And often they cause anger, frustration, depression, loneliness, anxiety, fear. So if we can go through these steps of identifying the triggers, the emotions, the beliefs, then we can find God's truth for that situation. Psalms 43, this is what David says. He says, "Vindicate me, God, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are my God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me?" David, what's David feeling? He's feeling alone, right? God, why have you rejected me? Why have you left me alone? Why must I go about in mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy, my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, with the harp, oh my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You see the tension? David knew what he needed to do, but he was trying to get himself there. So you're not alone. You know, it says, experts will say it takes up to 90 days at least to establish new habits. So don't think it's going to happen overnight. Maybe God will do a miracle and it happens just like that. But that's why we have to get into God's Word. What I did in my own life when I kind of stumbled upon some of this is I really wrote down, so anxiety was one that I dealt with when I was going through seminary before coming here. I never understood that that was something that I was dealing with. So in stressful moments, I'd feel anxious, I'd get tight in my shoulders and all that type of stuff. It was just during stressful moments. And our move down there was very stressful. But once I identified that, then I was able to counter with God's truth. And so then in my devotions, I would remind myself that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, right? To rejoice in the Lord always, and again rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. You know, and to offer those things up in thanksgiving and prayer so that the peace of God can flood my heart and my mind, right? Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." We're going to talk more about that next week, that transformation. By the what? The renewing of your mind. I think God has to renew our hearts and our minds so that his truth is there. That is God's perfect and pleasing will. Scripture says, Jesus says in John 8, 32, "We will know the truth, and the truth will" what? "Set us free." If we can get God's truth in there to counter those false beliefs, it'll set us free. Would you stand this morning? And Gary, if you could help me up at the front with prayer. Christy, if you could as well. If you have a need or request, I'd encourage you just to raise your hands and say, "God, here's my life." And say, "God, what do you need me to work on in my life? How can I, what truths do I need to be reminded of? And what emotions are guiding and directing my life in a way that they shouldn't be? They're making me do things out of my character and who I am." I was thinking about camp, and I remember one of my first years of being a dorm leader. I was an intern up in Williston, North Dakota. It was my ministerial internship between my junior and senior year, and it was a five-hour drive. So we had a two-and-a-half-hour drive. I had a five-hour drive. I was dead tired. But I remember that last day at camp, I had some junior high boys, and they're being junior high boys. They were messing around with some shaving cream or something. I was mad. I took that shaving cream down and... Oh, that was an embarrassing moment in my life. And I realized, you know what, God had to work in some self-control in my life. You know, when things were going well, I was a pretty good guy. But when I was stressed and tired, there were some things that came to the surface that guided me out of character. And so I had to deal with those things. What are things that God is speaking to you this morning through His Holy Spirit? Denise is going to lead that in the closing song. If you want to come forward for prayer for a need, or if you just want to come and hang out at the altar and let God work in your life, that's awesome too. So. Lord, this morning we need you, God. We need you working in our hearts and our lives. You love us the way we are, but you don't want us to stay that way. You want us to become like you. So that the fruit of the Spirit are there, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, that those things are there. That the truths of your word are guiding our heart and our mind and our behaviors. Not the lies that the enemy would bring our way, not the lies that were spoken over our life, maybe by a loved one. Those are hard lies to erase. We're told when we're young that we're not good enough. Those are hard things to erase. But God, your truth is powerful. And Lord God, it's not just by human discipline or will, Lord God, but we're asking for your supernatural power to renew our heart and our mind in you. For your truth to govern us. For your peace, your joy to be resident in our lives. So, Lord God, we need your help. There's going to be good days, there's going to be difficult days, but God, you never leave us and you never forsake us. You're always with us. God, go with us this week. Let us be salt and light in our world. We pray for our nation. Lord God, our nation needs us as believers to be praying for it. It needs us living out godly virtues in our world, Lord. It needs our faithful and steady presence with all that is happening. Lord God, let us be that. Let us be the hope of the world. May they see Christ in us. Lord God, go with us. We ask in the precious name of Jesus, and everybody said, greet each other as you leave today.